This is England University of Philosophy, God Unlimited Church of England. This is the project of Reverend Christie, who has established this program in London. The second lecture, attuned to her program, is Who Are the Congregation of God Unlimited Church of England? Who are the congregation of God Unlimited Church of England? Who are the congregation of God Unlimited Church of England? Now, that's a good question. Now, the congregation of God Unlimited Church of England is made up of one person. That's you. That's you. And whoever you create with you. Because you give birth to every single person who is a member of your congregation. You invite them in, you present a program to them that is harmonious with them, and they immediately come and be part of your congregation. Now, that's pretty nice, isn't it? That's pretty nice when you stop and think about it, that your congregation is whoever you have brought into the church. It's not somebody else to bring people into the church. It's you. You alone. And when you realize that it's you alone, then you realize that everybody that comes into the congregation is exactly what you want them to be. And that's pretty exciting. Now, do you want a bookkeeper in your congregation? Then you create a bookkeeper to take care of the records. You don't want to count the money. You don't want to have anything to do with the money. You want it to be done in its normal way, and you want the money to be available to you to use in any way that you want to bring the church into focus. Now, do you want to have a membership chairman? Do you want to have musicians who work with you in your church or in your operation? Then you create them by your thought. You create them by every thought you think. And this is what they do, whether people recognize it or not. Every minister runs the organization. And people say, well, it's not the minister, it's the musicians and the people who are helping. But every one of those people is there helping the minister carry out the program of the church. Now, what is the program of the church? Again, you can repeat it to me. Be myself and have fun.
Be myself and have fun.
All right. The purpose of Christie's Church, England University of Philosophy and God Unlimited Church of England, the purpose of these two organizations is for Christie to be herself and have fun. Nothing more, nothing less. Just to be herself and have fun. Now, in being herself and having fun, what is she going to do? Does she like to have parties? Does she like to have discussion groups? Does she like to discuss ideas about moving into a higher level of consciousness? Does she want to do all these neat things in her consciousness? And the answer is yes. So as she does these things, she creates around her people who stimulate her and who are interesting and vital in moving you into this higher level of awareness, right?
Yes.
Okay, now that's all that it takes. That's all that it takes for you. Now people say, well, we got to have membership drives, we got to have this, we have to have that. And no, you don't. You see, first you decide how big a church you want. And you say, that's not the point. I don't care how big it is or how little it is. Well, yes, you do. You want a church that reaches out to everyone and provides a program for everyone. Do you want to have a television ministry? Do you want to have a radio ministry? Do you want to have a large convention hall in which you hold your Sunday services because you need to have room for 30,000 people every Sunday? You know? Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
And people come just for the church service on Sunday in the convention center, 30,000 people, just to hear you. And then what do you say to them? You say, look, kids, I'm in this for myself. I'm doing it to be myself and have fun. Now, if you want to do the same thing, you're welcome here. Now, you don't have to say that, because that was in your advertisement, and that's what brought the people there in the first place, is because they knew that you were going to be yourself and have fun, and that's what they're going to do. You see, when we talk about congregation, we talk about growth, we talk about these things, we are talking so silly, because what is it that we want? Because we're the ones who this program is established for, not anybody else. And the program is not established to help anybody else achieve anything, or to help anybody else to grow or to be healed. Are there any sick people in your church?
No.
Are there any poor people in your church?
Not at all.
This is not at all about it. No.
No.
The simple no will be very effective. Are there any people in your church who are cannot get along with each other?
No.
Are there any people in your church who are having children out of wedlock?
No.
You answer that pretty quick. Now, let's go into this out of wedlock thing. When two people decide they would like to have a relationship, and they want to have a sexual relationship, what's going to happen? Are they going to get married? Or are they going to pledge each other to each other? Are they going to say to each other, I want to be with you, and I want to share with you, and I want to do these things? Is that what they're going to say to each other? Are they going to pledge each other to each other to share and be with each other and do wonderful things together? Is that what they're going to do? Then that's what they're going to do, and that's, there is their wedlock. They have been married by doing the choice of living together, by the choice of being together and living in this wonderful state of happiness and joy. Now, that's what that's all about. Now, when did we ever get into this state of wedlock? Now, the government likes to have you be married and be registered by the government, because they did that in Jesus' time too. And they want to know how many people are going to be produced by your factory, and how many people are going to be coming forth and being expressing themselves in your world. And once you decide on how many people are going to be coming forth in your world, then you can really get going and decide on whether you're going to have marriages, or whether they're going to be done by the government, or whether they're going to be done by, so to speak, the church. These are things that we sometimes get all messed up in them. We get all fouled up in. Marriage is a very sacred thing in most churches and most religions. And it's sacred because it's a membership type thing. It's something to build up members within the church. And it's something to build up a job for the minister to perform the weddings and do these things, although they don't do that many. It's amazing how many people just run off to Las Vegas, so to speak, or just go to the Justice of the Peace or to the County Hall. Because nobody says you have to have a minister conduct your wedding. Nobody says that. You just go down to the City Hall, go down to the courthouse or wherever, and sign your papers, and ask the clerk, say, will you pronounce this man and wife? And the clerk says, sure, it's done. $20, please, you know. And so then you're married. And he signs the papers and sends them in, and everything is done. You see, marriage is just a commercial thing. When two people want to be together, because they want to raise their children together, because they want to live a life of harmony and happiness and peace together, they're going to stay together. And the minute the road gets rough and they're not happy together, they're going to do their utmost to break up. And in breaking up, the first thing they're going to do is be angry at each other, instead of just picking up their marbles and going, you know. And whoever is left with the children should have the estate, you know, whatever is left. And so that's just fine. Now you're saying, you mean the wife shouldn't support the husband, or the husband shouldn't support the wife? They probably hadn't been supporting one another for a long time before they decided to separate. You understand? You see, we're in this game of games here, And the game is called government and called possession. And we're taught to own houses, to own property, to own these things. Wouldn't it be nice to just live in a lovely house and when you're done living in it, move somewhere else?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and not have to worry about where the other house came from or where what's going to happen to your house? You see, this is be yourself and have fun. This is really what it's all about. And now you're going to say, well, Herb, are you giving people license to be irresponsible? No. People are irresponsible if they are irresponsible. People are responsible if they are responsible. And there's no license or not lack of license that's going to allow them to do that. They want to determine what their own program is. Now, if a minister can teach this to their congregation, and of course, what is the minister really doing?
He's teaching himself.
He's teaching himself. The minister is teaching himself, and when the minister can teach his congregation by teaching himself, a great lesson is learned. Then the minister doesn't judge the congregation. The minister doesn't judge what anyone else does. The minister doesn't tell them how they're supposed to live their life and what they're supposed to do and what is right and what's wrong. Can you imagine if little children were left to their own without adults around ever? They would soon come to what's right and wrong. What makes somebody else unhappy is not merely right. What makes other people happy, that's right. But even if it's giving them all the ice cream they want, sure. Sure. They learn a lesson. They say, hey, I had enough. You haven't the right to say you have enough. You have to keep eating as long as I keep feeding it to you. Oh, no, no, I'm being myself and having fun. Oh, sorry, you're right. You know? If you go back to the principle, you go back to basis, be yourself and have fun, you'll find that everything flows in perfect harmony. Everything is a perfect ideal situation, and that's pretty wonderful. But this is what it's all about. And this is why it's so important for us to be aware of how these things go and be aware that when we have a church, the congregation at a church is made up of duplicates of ourselves. And if you have some rotten members of your congregation, look to yourself and you'll see you're rotten yourself somewhere. In that very same place, you are unstable. In the very same place, you are unclear with yourself as to what is right and wrong for you to do. Pretty important.
Mm-hmm.
Now, think on these things, work on these things, and understand these things, because these things are what makes your world go round. They make your world. People say, well, I want a church, and I want this. Well, why do you want a church? So you can tell people what to do? Why do you want a church? Because you want a place where people will come and worship you?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you want a church? You want people to come and hear how good you sing? I had a very good friend of mine, Lauren Flickinger. Excellent voice. And he had a Unity Church. But the thing he liked most about his Unity Church was every Sunday he sang a solo.
Mm-hmm.
And he sang very well. Beautiful voice. And then he conducted all the activities and he gave his talk. And he was a good minister. But the thing is, in his own personal life, he just had all sorts of hairy problems. He felt that he could have a number of wives, you know, one after the other. And he felt that he could have a number of flings during the time he was having the wives, you know. And that was not too good. And that didn't work out too harmonious for him. But the thing is, this is what he was teaching to his congregation. He had in his congregation people who believed like he did. They did not see him doing anything wrong by it. Now, you have to have that. It's his church and his congregation. Of course, I was in the congregation too. But I was in the congregation because I wanted to get some use out of my printing presses, and I printed up Christian Unity for him, and I wrote it every month and did everything for him. But that was great. But you see, be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself. The people you have in your congregation, the people you have in your world, the friends that you have, are all people who you have made into whatever you made them into. You have created them into whatever limiting thing you have. Now, Madam Christie, or Reverend Christie, what kind of people would you like in your congregation?
People being themselves and having fun.
Would you like to have spiritual masters in your congregation? Would you like to have revealed souls in your congregation? Would you? No?
Just be themselves and have fun.
Yeah, that's
being what they are.
Would you like to have spiritually illumined people?
Definitely.
Would you like to have people who knew it all on their divine path? Yeah. You better watch just a little bit here. You see, we say, oh, it'd be wonderful to have in my congregation a bunch of saints. Not on your life. Oh, it'd be wonderful to have a bunch of spiritually illumined beings in my congregation. Not at all. You see, if you are a spiritually illumined being, what will you see?
Well, it's spiritual human being. A reflection of me.
A reflection of you. You will only see spiritually illumined human beings. And then, if you are spiritually illumined, are you human? You are a spiritually illumined divine being. And if you are a spiritually illumined divine being, then all you look out on is this sea of 20,000 spiritually illumined divine beings all around you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, could you handle something like that? Oh, yes. Bull roar. You'd find that one of the most toughest things in the world. And the reason it's tough is because you cannot yet see yourself as a spiritually illumined divine being. Now, the moment you can get an inkling of what it's like to be a spiritually illumined divine being, then what's going to happen to you?
And 50?
Yes.
My whole world.
Your whole world. Right. Does what?
Be a reflection of me.
That's right. That's right. Your 20,000 people in your congregation is that way. Now, do you want to run a church where you own a building and stuff? Or do you want to just have the convention center every Sunday and then a suite of office rooms downtown for your practitioner work and maybe class work? That'd be interesting, wouldn't it? But you see, you could have the convention center maybe three nights a week when they're not having sports games there. And in the convention center, you could have your classes. 20,000 people in your classes, each one of your classes. Now, you see, 20,000 people in a class, you know, it's pushing it to have it on the Sunday service, but in the class, that's right. And you know how long your class is? Your class is an hour or two. So for 2 hours, all these people come downtown and go to this class and they listen to you. And it's only input. And then they float home. Yeah? On Sunday, the people come in from everywhere. You have a helipad and an airport and all these things where people can come in. And they're brought to the convention hall. See? And you know what convention hall means? A CH? Christie's Heaven.
I thought Switzerland.
Christie's Heaven. Christie's Haven or Heaven?
Christie's Hall.
Christie's Hall. I like Heaven. But, you see...
Holiness.
No. It's not Christie is holy. It's her heaven. You see, she doesn't proclaim her holiness. She is that.
Yeah.
She only proclaims wherever she is, it's holy. And every person who comes into your world is holy. Every person who comes into your world is uplifted and divine. Ellen, can you see how doing this would be so easy? You would have ticket takers. You would have buses and limousines to bring people from the airport and during hot.
Right. If you want that, that's
not. No. It's not your business. Your business is to be there at a certain time and speak for an hour or two and then leave. And then you'll be also at television across the nation for everybody, you know. Because 20,000 people doesn't begin to cover how many, what's the population of San Diego area? About 12 million people? No. So it doesn't even begin to cover. You couldn't get them all in there.
Mm-hmm.
No? So, you see, this is what you want. Not that you're thinking big, but you're thinking unlimited. You're thinking that you are sharing what you believe. You're sharing who you are. You're sharing all that you know that you are. And then what happens?
You are what you are.
You create. Don't you think there's at least that many people in San Diego who would love to hear what you had to say?
Mm-hmm.
They would love to have you recognize them like you recognize yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jesus only saw himself. What wouldst thou of me? You know, I'm the Christ. I can only see the Christ in you. So, wherever Jesus went, did people recognize the Christ?
Not always.
The people who came for him. There were people on the periphery. Hey, now listen to me very carefully. The stories that we have are that people didn't always recognize Jesus the Christ. I say that it is incorrect. If the prisoner who was so bad to be hung on the cross next to Jesus recognized Jesus and his spirituality, you can be sure everywhere he went, they recognized him. They didn't always understand him. They didn't always want to be it, but they recognized him. Anyone who was there to do it. Now, Ellen, is the Sistine Chapel a beautiful work of art?
Yes.
Does every single person on the face of the earth at some time go to Mecca, go to the Sistine Chapel to admire it?
No.
No. Does even a teensy-weensy portion go?
No.
Do all the Catholics go? No. So if you have, let's say, how many millions of Catholics? Let's say 10 million Catholics. Just, and it's much more than that, I'm sure.
Huh? Surely a billion or two.
Well,
no?
Could be.
Well,
could be. But my point is, let's give them the billion. So here we got a billion Catholics. Of these Catholics, how many have gone to see the Sistine Chapel, or the Pope, and to listen to him in Pope Square there, you know?
Very few.
And listen to him in Pope Square. And how many Catholics are sightseeing in Rome on a Sunday and don't even go and hear him?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting, huh?
Yeah.
Interesting. Now, you see, this tells you that they are not there because of the spiritual quality of the church. And there's not anything wrong with that.
Right.
But you, in your congregation, have created everyone as a reflection of yourself. Everyone is there as a reflection of yourself, being the divine that you are. And that's wonderful. And so, if you will keep your mind clear and realize that you are doing this just for yourself, Christy, not for anybody else, and that you don't want people in your congregation, and you don't not want them there. You want people in your, you don't want, you create people in your world who are a perfect reflection of you. Now, how can you create these people in your world who are a perfect reflection of you? How can you create them in your world?
Automatically seeing you work like yourself are.
Right. And how do you do that?
By being myself and having fun. I see everyone like this.
And how do you do that?
Thoughts.
By thought.
By thoughts and my attitude.